The parliament in Cambodia has approved a bill to prosecute leaders of the Khmer Rouge. That measure was required to help create a joint United Nations-Cambodian tribunal for the group's surviving leaders. As many as 2 million people died during the Khmer Rouge rule from 1975 to 1979. Some were executed while others died from lack of food or medicine. From Phnom Penh, NPR's Michael Sullivan reports on the hope for justice.
25 years after they were driven from power, none of the Khmer Rouge leaders has ever been brought to justice. Brother number one, Pol Pot, died in the jungle in 1998, and many of his top lieutenants live freely in Cambodia, including the capital, Phnom Penh. In a leafy Phnom Penh neighborhood, a man washes his car next to a smart three-story villa belonging to the one-time Khmer Rouge foreign minister, Ieng Sary. Sary doesn't take many visitors, but the woman next door, 35-year-old Pyomom, says he is a good neighbor.
He lives in his house. I live in my house. We don't bother each other. He hasn't caused any problem, so to me, no problem.
No problem, she says, even though she lost both her parents during the 4-year-long rule of the Khmer Rouge.
Of course I want justice, but this happened more than 25 years ago, so it can't be solved now. My father was killed, but it wasn't Ieng Sary who killed him. It was someone else, and I don't know if he gave the order or not. So maybe it's better just to forget.
Some Cambodians say they prefer to move on, fearing that opening old wounds may lead to new violence, especially with former Khmer Rouge living among them. Others say they're more worried about feeding their families than thinking about the past. Painter Van Nhat does not want to forget. Nhat is a survivor of the infamous Khmer Rouge torture center, Tuol Sleng, in the heart of the city. More than 17,000 prisoners entered Tuol Sleng. Only 7 lived to tell about it. Sitting on his rooftop terrace, Van Nhat says the tribunal is long overdue.
I still see the men who tortured me on the streets. Every day I see them and I feel the fear, and I cannot escape that feeling. That's why the tribunal is so important, because it will help get rid of this fear and suspicion. For 27 years I have waited. I'm not certain it will happen, even now. But in my heart, I still hope.
Hope and skepticism are found in equal measure these days, now that the parliament has approved the agreement between the government and the UN to try the aging Khmer Rouge leaders. Senator Ong Bun Ang, a spokesman for the opposition's Sam Rainsy party, is one of the skeptics.
Some people in the government and high classes, they did or do still have some connection with the Khmer Rouge regime, and it's their best interest not to have the tribe proceed. They've been dragging their feet for how many years now? If there were sincere intention or will to do the right thing by the Cambodian people, they would have held the trial a long time ago.
What many here wanted but did not get was a Rwanda or Bosnia-style international tribunal. Instead, the government insisted and the UN agreed on a watered-down version under Cambodian law that leaves many observers worried about the potential for abuse.
Cambodians deserve the same standards of justice as any other nation, you know, that's suffered such egregious crimes. We would like to have seen something that's more first-rate for Cambodia.
Sarah Colm is a senior researcher for Human Rights Watch based in Phnom Penh.
Under the current formulation of sort of a hybrid tribunal that's placed within the Cambodian court system, with a majority of Cambodian judges and some international judges, we are concerned that the process could become subject to political manipulation, political pressure.
In a country with a weak judiciary and widespread corruption, it is a well-founded fear. But Cambodia's information minister, Khieu Kanarat, insists there will be no interference and denies any foot-dragging on the part of the government. The makeup of the court, he says, reflects the unique circumstances of Cambodia's unique form of genocide.
Not like Bosnia, not like many countries. No, quite different. Here we don't have a clan, we don't have a tribe, we don't have ethnic people. We have just Cambodian killing Cambodian. And the tribunal in Cambodia were decided by the Cambodian himself.
Human rights activist Lee Mun Hai worries that the government will continue stalling until the aging Khmer Rouge leaders die off, as did Pol Pot. No defendants, he says, no trial, and no end to what he and many other Cambodians call the culture of impunity infecting the nation.
No punishment, nothing at all, then that's it. The symbol of culture of impunity. And it's very difficult to get rid of that culture. Then the rich and the powerful can get away from their crime, while the poor and the weak cannot.
But others believe the trial will go ahead, though there are still questions about who will pay and when it will start. The Cambodian government wants the UN to foot most of the bill, estimated at more than $50 million. Steve Hedder, a longtime Cambodia watcher and professor of Oriental Studies at the University of London, says he believes the tribunal will go ahead and should.
I think it's better to have a tribunal, a flawed tribunal, even a fundamentally flawed tribunal, than no tribunal at all, as long as it's recognized that it's fundamentally flawed and that the books aren't closed on this issue and that there's a hell of a ways yet to go.
Chiang Mai is just a few miles southwest of the capital down a deeply rutted dirt road. This is where the Khmer Rouge executed many of its victims. A frail one-armed man sweeps the grounds in front of the memorial erected to honor the dead. It is a tall, glass-sided tower containing the skulls of thousands of victims, men, women, and children. A young man sits in the shade watching the foreigners take their guided tours of the mass graves. The 23-year-old named Im Sam At says Cambodians still come here too. Many, he says, are young people. They come, he says, to see if the stories told by their parents and grandparents are true. He says he welcomes a tribunal, but holds out little hope it will help him.
It's not going to help us with our living condition. It's not going to help in terms of enforcing the law, or ending corruption, or keeping the rich from robbing the poor. I hope there is a tribunal. Those people who did this should pay, but I don't expect it to do anything for me.
His friend nods in agreement. It won't help us, he says. And then he points at the tower behind him. But it may, he says, help them by bringing a measure of peace to their souls. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Phnom Penh.